Hey guys, if you know me, you know I love to travel and you know I love to save money. This episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. From choosing the right travel card to dodging hidden fees, Smart Travel helps your money go further. Literally. They cover all things travel finance, like how to plan group trips that don't bust your budget or your friendships. How to maximize points for real savings, not just free bottled water. How to avoid paying for upgrades you won't use, and so much more. They're doing great work over there. Check it out. Travel smarter and spend less with help from NerdWallet. Follow Smart Travel wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
Hello, Travel Tales podcast fans. This is Mike Siegel, and this is a special episode of the Travel Tales podcast. So special, it's not even me on this episode. I'm always on the lookout for new podcasts to listen to, especially new travel podcasts. And there's one called The Hidden Trails of Oregon. It's an immersive journey across America's wild, weird, and wonder-filled state of Oregon. I've always been a fan of that state. And now there's a podcast dedicated to it, and it's recorded on location, in surround sound audio. It's really an immersive travel experience. And this episode I particularly liked. It's called Letterbuck. It's all about the Pendleton Roundup, which is one of the oldest and most respected rodeos in the world. And Letterbuck is their catchphrase. Kind of like get her done, but you get the point. Anyway, it was fun to listen to. They do a nice job. It's hosted by Aaron Miller, and the production on it is top-notch. And it's fun. And also, if you get a chance to go to Oregon, don't pass it up. It's one of the great states in our union, especially if you love the great outdoors. It's also not bad if you like coffee and microbreweries. So I'm a big fan of Oregon, big fan of the Hidden Trails of Oregon podcast. Get it wherever you get your podcasts. And enjoy this episode on the Pendleton Roundup. Letterbuck! Yeehaw!
Welcome back to the Hidden Trails of Oregon. Today, we're in the heart of the Umatilla Valley for something special. The real West, as it's called, is Pendleton, Oregon, home of the one and only Pendleton Roundup. And that's where we're headed. If you've heard of it, well, I bet you've cracked a smile because you know what we're in for. But if not, don't worry. We didn't either. And by we, I mean your hosts, me, Aaron Miller, and my producer, Jason, who jumps in a few times, but mostly just cackles from the background. It's that kind of trip. We're going to meet princesses and champions, suicide racers, that's actually a thing, and steer wrestlers, and through it all, explore the Western ties that bring these groups to rodeo together each September. But first...
Oh my God. We found a mechanical hog. It's like a giant red.
That says save a bull, ride a pig.
Like, he's lulling me into a bit of a false sense of security. It's spinning around, it's going up and down a bit, but he's got no problem. I think it's all in the hips.
Oh, this guy's ridden all kinds of pigs.
Oh, now it's twisting around. I gotta do it.
You're gonna have to.
It's no bucking bronco, but this is, after all, my first rodeo. We're outside the smaller of two arenas on the grounds, but you wouldn't know it. Thousands of people are pushing past any one of them, a ranch hand or roundup queen. They're in every kind of Western wear, fringe, beaded leather, and Stetson-style hats as far as I can see. It's warm for September, and that means drinks in every hand. Coors Banquet or whiskey straight up seem to be the drinks of choice. Stalls of vendors and visitors shout over pounding music. There's a saying here at the Roundup. It's written on the walls, cheersed at the bar, and screamed by every crowd. Let her buck.
This is how you start day one of a Pendleton Roundup. The hog's a lot bigger when you're up here. From down there, it didn't look that big. So the record is 68 seconds. My heart's pounding a little bit.
Okay.
And does the pig have a name?
I'm not sure what, but it says something that a Brit on a pig is the least interesting thing around. The crowd barely glances over as the hog's handler hits the switch.
All right, let's go. It's really hard. Okay, I'm spinning. When it changes direction.
Oh my God.
Good with the knees. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
Oh no. I'm getting super dizzy as well. doing the record. I thought I was going to do a lot worse.
You had some strong knees there.
Yep. Now I know why cowboys walk like this. It's my legs.
I took you
I here. I never squeezed a hog like that before.
Pretty impressive, if I do say so myself. And I have to, because everybody else is heading towards the Happy Canyon Arena. Here, they host concerts, a pageant night almost as old as the Roundup itself. And right now, the big boy version of my humble hog, it's time for the Extreme Bulls.
One! Who here is ready to meet the greatest bull riders of professional workload?
We're in the open air grandstands, hundreds of feet above an oval of dirt, flanked by the facades of an old west town. Across the sea of horse trailers and campers, I could just make out the massive Roundup Stadium, easily five times bigger than this one. We'll see events over there soon enough, but now explosions draw me back to the drama below. One, bull riders are brought out like pro wrestlers. Fireworks burst, and I swear I can feel the heat. Lasers strobe the risers, and hard rock shakes my seat between every rider's intro. The rules of bull riding are simple. Seat a cowboy on the back of a furious one-ton bull and hang on one-handed for an eternal 8 seconds. Thick metal gate bursts open, and before I can blink, the bull is airborne, flailing as his cowboy clings on.
Oh my God!
In a heartbeat, the rider is thrown, rolling from the hooves, while rodeo clowns rush in to rein the bull. All of a sudden, my near record on the plastic pig doesn't feel like something to brag about.
Wild. I don't know what I expected, but it's even more awesome than that.
That is insane.
I love it. I'm in like full gladiator mode.
Are you not entertained?
It's part action movie, part rock show, blurring into the Super Bowl. It feels modern, but bull riding itself goes back to the Bronze Age. And that's true for rodeo contests in general. Bull riding, barrel racing, wild cow milking, that's actually a thing, are all based on tradition and in keeping those traditions alive. Letterbuck makes a lot of sense from the back of a bull or even a hog. But as I'm about to find out, it's much more than a rodeo shout. It's a way of life.
In the history books, it's all written in there. You know, you look to the east and here's the cloud of dust coming to town. It was led by Chief Blackhawk, and that was my paternal great-grandfather. So we've been involved since the inception of Pendleton.
This is Tony Minthorn of the Confederated Tribes of the Umatilla standing at the gates of the main stadium. As a kid, Tony was princess in the Happy Canyon pageant, a portrayal of native life before and after the arrival of white settlers, with about 700 other performers and a live orchestra. But Tony was also a princess in the Roundup itself, the first to have both roles. Today, she trains horses and prepares the next generation of Pendleton ambassadors for the spirit of the past.
It is great to be able to do this and let non-Indians know who we are and where we come from. Happy Canyon itself really is a glimpse. And there's been some changes over the years. There used to be zero narration in it. And now we have a narrated scene so that people understand what's taking place. It actually helps depict our culture a lot better when they do that. There is still some division with certain aspects of it, but I think both sides are working to make sure that those gaps are filled. We are all here in this community. Everybody helps each other and to make it the best there is.
And that's exactly what Toni does here. She's something of a coach, a therapist, and a wrangler for the grand entry when Roundup royalty rides onto the field, Western elegance mixing with the dust of thundering hooves.
90% of the success of the grand entry isn't the fact that the girl can ride a horse and jump a fence. It's what goes on in that girl's head. I sit behind the gate and look at the girls, talk to the girls, you know, hey, you need to take your horse for a walk, take a deep breath, relax, so you can have a safe, a successful, fun, and pretty grand entry. I will get you through that thing, no matter what it takes.
Every year, natives build a grand tribal village of 300 teepees, possibly the largest of its kind. Beauty and dance contests are held. Vendors sell native craftwork, jewelry, and traditional foods. Many groups have camped in the same exact spots since the very beginning.
Well, it is truly a family tradition. With everybody being active in it, my mom's side, my dad's side, it's very important to keep the tradition. And history is what makes Pendleton so exceptional. I've seen other big rodeos lose that part of their rodeo, and I want to make sure that I do my part to ensure that that never happens to Pendleton, because I really believe Pendleton is the greatest rodeo there is.
We walk through the stadium gates, Letterbuck emblazoned on iron bars. If we thought it was busy before, we were very mistaken. Groups of all ages squeeze by, cowboy hat brims bumping and stirrups ringing on hot concrete. 17,000 people cheer from grandstands, stretching around a massive racetrack.
Please direct your attention skyward. On behalf of the United States Navy.
Military aircraft pass overhead and Navy parajumpers float onto the grassy middle of the field. We're heading for the press box built right above what they call the bucking chutes. These are heavy-duty metal tunnels, about two bald eagle wingspans high, that keep livestock in place while the riders get mounted up.
Here comes the reigning champion of the saddle bronc riding.
These competitors are riding untrained horses, or broncos, instead of bulls, but they're not any less extreme.
Is this the press box up here?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, have a
counter.
Security checks we're wearing proper cowboy boots and hats before admitting us to the box. At Pendleton, you've got to look the part.
So it's pretty exciting here, actually, because we are right on the chutes where the Buck and Broncos come in, and all the cowboys are standing around and getting ready. The cowboys just have to get on top and tie themselves in as tight as they can. They're only allowed to hold on with one hand. And when they're ready, they give the nod yes. Someone pulls open the gate. Off they go! Oh my god! He's like a rat. Oh my god, he's gonna get himself hurt. No! And he's done it.
It's a complete spectacle, but also incredibly real. No ad banners hang in the arena, there's no jumbotrons or flashing lights. It's a sea of Western sights and sounds. And that's how it's always been. The first roundup, 115 years ago, was intended to be a frontier exhibition of picturesque pastimes for the championship of the Northwest. They picked September to coincide with the end of the harvest, and it exploded in popularity immediately. A rodeo clown from the 1920s remembered that during the moonshine days, if they caught you with a bottle, they couldn't put you in jail because the jails were full. All they could do was pour it on the ground. Word got out, he said, and that made Pendleton mighty popular. The words Pendleton Roundup, one reporter wrote at the time, are on the lips of thousands and will be for years to come. And they were. The roundup only ever paused for World War II and COVID. And today it draws 65,000 people every year, paying out about $1 million in prizes.
Where are the Oregonians?
Yeah, let her bust!
Yeah!
Oh, pretty!
Oh, he's jumping all four legs off the air. Yeah!
Dude, did you just get hit by that dirt?
I did.
I got hit by
is
the dirt.
Is that what it was?
Yeah,
it was,
you kicked the dirt.
Close
man.
Enough that the fucking Bronco just kicked dirt in my face.
Right in the thick of it. And with all that excitement, we could use a drink. Luckily, I know just the place. Right across the stadium, we find the notorious Letterbuck Room built below the grandstands in 1958. They serve one thing and one thing only. Hard liquor made by, you guessed it, Pendleton Whiskey. It's jam-packed and rowdy, but has actually calmed down over the years. Cowgirls famously used to climb on the bar and, well, I'll let someone else describe it.
I bounced the Letterbuck Room for years. When we first started, they'd ring a bell and they had to take some of the garments off to get the t-shirt. And it was a different experience.
This is Pat Nogle, a Pendleton legend, and not for his bartending.
You know, I came here as a little chubby 12-year-old, and they'd let you sneak on the grass and watch their events. And I thought, you know, that's what I want to be.
Pat is an Oregonian cowboy that grew up on his family's ranch. He's also a champion bulldogger or steer wrestler, which is exactly what it sounds like. He competed and won here at Pendleton for decades and still holds records to this day.
Then you'll grab them by the horns as your horse goes by, and then bring them around, which it's kind of a timing strength event, and grab them by the nose and lay them down. As soon as all 4 feet are flat, the time quits.
I thought that was like just a euphemism, but you're really wrestling steers.
Yeah, really. Yeah, you know, it's bulldog and steer wrestling. Yeah, no, you're wrestling steers.
Cool.
Yeah.
It's very unique. It's not like any other sport to begin with.
And this is fellow champion and Olympic medalist Butch Knowles.
These things actually started and evolved from ranching and different experiences, and so they've molded it into a sport, and that's just out of cowboy try, and you don't see that. You know, you can name any other sport, basketball, football, whatever. You know, it just isn't that way.
And that's true of every contest at the Roundup. It's not a costume they put on. It comes from real traditional work.
Butch and I grew up in it, so I kind of flattered to see, like, when people come to Roundup, everybody has cowboy boots, cowboy hats, you know, and it's good for the industry, you know. And you think, boy, if they've seen what we've seen, when you're out there on your horse gathering cows, Butch has a ranch also, and you're by yourself, you know, and you have good dogs and good horse, and the cows are behaving, you think, you know, glad everybody didn't know about this, or we'd be out of job. But then with the other side too, when it's winter and the snow's 3 feet deep and you're feeding that hungry cow, and then nobody'd want the job. But
yeah, you know, it's funny. So the Roundup started, there was slack and going, but I had to go to the mountains and ride some country to clean up some cattle. And I was riding down a creek, and it was just about 7 o'clock. And I thought exactly what you're talking about. It was just absolutely beautiful. It was quiet, you know, it was just me and my horse and a dog and elk were bugling. And at that point you think, I'm the luckiest guy in the world. And we really are lucky, you know, we've got to do everything that we love to do. And then we got to compete at rodeos like Pendleton and all the biggest, you know, the NFR, and have success and compete at that high level. And the friends that we've made, you know, Pat and I have known each other since we've been about 12 years old, you know, and been very close friends all those years. And you can't take that for granted. To me, I mean, there is nothing better. We've had a great life.
That's amazing. Well, you guys are both legends, and it's been an honor to speak to you. So thank you so much. I know you got to get back out there and check out some of this rodeo. So thank you so much.
Yeah, he's got to go sign autographs.
Well, don't walk with him. He's so slow. Everybody's stopping him all the way.
Thank you, guys.
Butch and Pat are more than just good friends with championship buckles. Just like Tony and her family, they're celebrating but also preserving time-honored traditions, bridging the gap between the Old West and the New, ready to toss the reins to the next generation of riders.
You kind of go to a city and everyone growing up watching basketball or football, and they want to be, I mean, we grew up on the res and we want to be Indian relay racers.
This is Scott Abrahamson of the Colville Tribe. He's a jockey or rider for Abrahamson Relay. We find him on the edge of the stadium with his family team prepping for today's main event.
back in the day, you know, the tribes from Montana, Idaho, Washington, they would all gather and compete against each other in relay. And it was like a messenger thing where they're riding bareback, jump off and jump on another horse. Back home, they've always done track racing way back in the day. And so that's why we wear purple and white.
Those colors began with Scott's great-great-grandfather. Horses are his family's heritage, and his team maintains the old ways, wearing traditional regalia and burning sage for protection. Scott is fearless, completely separate from the roundup. He rides and repeatedly wins what are called suicide races. But Indian relays aren't all tea and puppies either. They're dangerous, unpredictable, and easily one of the roundup's biggest draws.
It's a team sport. It's kind of just like a track relay, but the jockey's like the baton. So we have three horses. They're all bareback, and the jockey starts on the first horse. We'll race around the track and come into our team. And we have a catcher, a holder, and a back holder. And I'll jump off and jump on the next horse and go around. That's our second horse. And then same thing, come in, jump off, jump on. And so there's two exchanges, three horses, and usually there's four to six teams. That's all adrenaline rush. It's just,
what's it like riding bareback compared to a saddle?
I mean, bareback, you don't use stirrups, and but yeah, there's danger to both. Here, I mean, you're jumping on a horse and they're just letting you go, so you got to hold on, and even coming out, and that's not even trying to stay on the horse coming around the track. So, and then I've always been told the faster you go, the smoother it is. So I always, that always helps me. It's to an extent it is. Yeah.
So cool. Have you ever fallen and hurt yourself?
Oh yeah, plenty of times. I got scars all over my body for it.
Dylan Abrahamson is here as well. He's cheering on his older cousin and, despite any scar stories, hopes to join the team.
I have three horses out there on Tutawillup by Wild Horse, and I've ridden my whole life, you know, but I need to work on not only just like riding, but being able to ride bareback and jump on and hold on. That's the biggest thing, is the hold on part.
Imagine that's the most important part, right?
If you get up too high and you slip over, that horse could trample you.
So serious every time you jump on. What are you just holding on to the mane, or are you going around the neck? Or
usually I try to aim for the neck, just because it's, once you're kind of set and the horse is taken off, then you can sit up and ride. So
okay, well, listen, man, good luck to you. We'll be cheering you on. Hopefully see you after. Great to meet you.
Dylan will be right on the field while Scotty races, so we give him a microphone to record the action and head over to the stadium to find our seats. We pass through the grand tribal village, crisp white teepee tents stretched 30 feet into clear blue sky. Families in ceremonial regalia drum and dance, bells ringing from hundreds of moccasin feet, while riders on horseback easily part the crowd. This time, we ditch the press box and climb right into the crowded grandstands while Dylan and Scott get into position trackside.
We're walking in the arena right now. The horses are walking in. Relay racers are going.
The horses skip and pull as they approach their starting zones. A pistol cracks and they leap into action.
Here you go, baby. So he's running around the track. He's running.
Scott settles into third place as they round the first loop, coming in at top speed for the first horse swap.
Scotty's coming in. Go, Scott. He's coming in. Hop on, baby. Yeah, baby. Get on that, baby. Go, go, go. Yeah.
A rider ahead of him just misses the exchange and crashes to the dirt, his horse taking off without him. Scott cleanly makes the change and bursts from a dust cloud in the lead. Four other teams and one lone horse right on his tail.
Go, Scotty! We're running around, Scotty up front. Laro Lake's right behind him, huh?
Just one more exchange if he can hold the lead.
Yeah. He's coming in hot! The last horse, baby! Last horse!
Again, Scott slides in at a sprint, his horse still moving when he leaps into the final lap.
Watch out!
The rider in gold starts ahead, but Scott burns by on the inside track. He's shouting as he barrels past our seats, but we hear nothing over the roar of the crowd. One last turn, Scott gripping the mane, both surging in unison, and he has done it!
Yes, baby! Ah!
In 1921, Charles Furlong wrote, "If one thinks the spirit of the Old West is dying, a certain 3 days of any September in Pendleton will soon change one's mind." And that's what this is. Older champions watching a new generation continue their legacy. The old West turning into the new. Communities coming together. A way of life. An attitude. It's extreme bulls and native dances, rodeo legends and fearless riders. It's broncos, steers, whiskey and beer. But more than anything, it's three words. Let her buck. Thanks for joining me at the Pendleton Roundup. It might have been my first rodeo, but it won't be my last. Remember, you too can see all of this yourself. Come to the rodeo. It's September every year. Just go to pendletonroundup.com for details and take my advice, book early. And if you'd like to take these hidden trails yourself, you can find out how to do so by going to traveloregon.com. Lots of great info up there about this trip and everything else you need to know to plan your next Oregon adventure. Thank you to all the guests that featured on the show. Tony Minthorn, Scott and Dylan Abrahamson, Pat Nogle, and Butch Knowles. And a special thank you to Greg and Petra for showing us such a great time. We can't wait to come back. And there's more to come, so hit that subscribe button and follow us wherever you get your shows. You're not going to want to miss any of this. This series was produced by Armchair Productions, the audio experts for the travel industry. Find out more at armchair-productions.com. Brian Thacker led our pre-production, Charles Tyree assisted on audio editing, and the episode was recorded by Jason Patton, who also wrote and co-produced it along with me, your host, Aaron Miller. I'll see you next time.
For spontaneous travelers, winging it is the perfect listen. James Hammond shares stories and tips from 75-plus countries. Find it at voyescape.com.